A Recent Death, Some Mixed Thoughts. By Dr. Ray Herman. There has been another death in my family, not my immediate family but close enough. If this kind of event has ever crept into your own family's existence, and it most likely has, you know exactly what I mean. When death does visit our families occasionally, those deaths can arrive in a variety of ways. Here in the United States, it most likely occurs by one of three main reasons. Heart disease and cancers are the top two causes of death, with unintentional injuries being the third reason. These three methods of departure from life account for over half of all deaths each year. Although many people would argue that COVID-19 related deaths should be the highest on the list, I don't think the medical corporations or global governments would publicly allow those statistics into the mix. They would consider them only part of a conspiracy theory or label it all as disinformation. I doubt that government leaders will ever admit they may be at blame for that. The longer you live, the more you learn of the many other causes of fatality. Looking back over my own 80 years on this planet, I find it amazing the wide variety of circumstances within which the Grim Reaper must complete his job. Although one of every two deaths would fall into the top three categories listed above, that also means that 50% would fall into many other groups containing hundreds of different reasons, some quite unusual. We could go on and argue about whether those who pass away go to heaven, hell, or someplace else, or if they turn into angels or whatever, but that is not my focus in this article. I've written about those ideas already. This article is not about the deceased so much, but casual thoughts concerning the survivors of those dead family members, those who must now adjust to life without someone they loved. Anyway, to get back on track, when a death happens within the family, the first effect is usually chaotic shock. Even if there was an expectation of a short time left until the person passed, there is still shock when it happens. That shock slowly dissipates as one sorts through the mechanics of pulling things back into a state of normalcy. Very fortunate is the close survivor that has helpful guidance in traversing the mess the Grim Reaper leaves behind for someone else to clean up. As I once wrote years ago, I remember going to many wakes and funerals even before I was a teenager. The passing of many elderly family members provided the opportunities. And, besides my parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, I lost a child to death, and so has one of my daughters, and so has my son. In addition, I have performed many memorial and funeral ceremonies as a Christian minister. So death has quite often touched my life, one way or another, over the years. But every one of those deaths was a bit different. The only commonality was that the person suddenly ceased to exist. There were different causes, but the same results. Some people were old, some young, some succumbed from age-related issues and others by illness or accident. Every person ever on earth has been, or will be, a victim. And usually, these events affect many people beyond just the victim's close family, those left behind. Because the true facts are so varied in real situations, I've heard many analogies about how to describe deaths in the family. I've got one that works for me too, although it may seem a bit bizarre to many. Let me explain. I look upon my life as a train ride. As a child I loved trains, so maybe that was a natural extension in my thought process. In any case, one train car, or rail car, represents my home and personal life. It contains my close family. There are other cars, before and after mine, which represent other families or friends' homes and lives. Slowly, as time passes and life changes, the train cars get moved around, sometimes even getting transferred to other tracks, because of opportunities, jobs, marriages, etc. Generally these are planned changes with smooth moves, some happy, some sad. Along with these changes, we make slight adjustments in our relationships and emotions. We adjust and get used to new routines. We settle in and continue to move along. But every once in a while, there is an abrupt derailment when a car jumps the track or is shaken so much that the whole train stops. That is what happens when someone in the family dies. It shakes up our whole world. Those closest to us, in the same rail car, feel more of a jolt than others down the line. There may be sadness and inconvenience in some of the other rail cars, but in ours, most everything changes, and there is more damage and more to clean up. Now, I know that natural disasters and war can cause more damage than a simple train car derailment, but that would make it a complete train wreck. That is how I look upon what the Prophet Job experienced. But my emphasis is upon an individual family member's death, not a widespread disaster. What happens when we die? No matter what we believe happens after death, we may sometimes wonder what does it feel like for the unfortunate person dying? Although there is no proven way to investigate what people physically experience during the dying process, we can learn certain things from medical observations. As dying progresses, the heart beats less strongly, blood pressure falls, and the skin cools down. There could be some periods of restlessness and confusion, and a gradual deepening of unconsciousness. Although we don't know if music or voices can be understood, we do know the unconscious brain responds to nearby noises. So for the victim, when death finally comes, their physical body slows down and then just stops working. After that last breath, the heart stops, the brain stops, and other vital organs, including your kidneys and liver, just stop. Everything else quickly powers down as there is no longer anything capable of carrying on the process that we call living. One Harvard ethicist describes death as universal, but sometimes murky. I can understand that thought, for although common, death is still dark and gloomy. Some people say those with near-death experiences do give us more details about what happens at death. But let's remember, the term near-death actually means death wasn't quite reached. Besides, just how much faith can you put into what a person remembers when their body and mind were so impaired that they may have been dying? From my point of view, actual death is reserved as the last event in our existence here. It is the only death we will experience in this lifetime. So it must be true, the biggest problem is that we know little about death, except through observation, as it is impossible to obtain statements of experiences from the victims who are actually dead. Further discussion about near-death can be found in the article, Do People See Heaven During a Near-Death Experience?, which is listed in references and notes. We all deal with death differently. Everyone deals with the immediate sorrow of death differently and everyone handles the evolving grieving process differently. The data processing of such situations isn't an inherited trait with which we are born. Handling the death of someone isn't hardwired into our genetics, like being born already knowing how to eat or breathe. Dealing with death must be learned. Someone once asked me, why didn't God design us with a better ability to handle death? My answer was, because human death was not part of his original plan, we were designed to live forever. There are many books and websites discussing the process of grief and the steps that must be taken to work your way through it, so I'm not going to restate those here. I just wanted to offer my personal observations of what sometimes happens as someone slowly accepts the facts of their situation and faces the roadblocks of trying to move forward. The first step after death is trying to make sense of the topsy-turvy new reality. Everything seems out of kilter and as you navigate through the chaos, your routine is broken, and you must now make solitary decisions instead of joint ones. You are unsure of what to do, but you must carry on anyway. Most likely, the loved one who is now gone has caused a seismic shift in the way your family will now have to do things. It is not just the feelings of those closest to the deceased, but death brings out the best and worst in many family members. Behavior runs across the full spectrum of responses, both good and bad. Positive, warm, and loving feelings are many times offset by the stress and negativity of unsupportive estranged family members, who care less for your feelings than they do of their own. Affection and friendliness can be quickly neutralized or destroyed by exposing previous attitudes and conflicts. And the grieving people must also put up defenses as family members begin categorizing their own wishes and beliefs in sorting the possessions, versus the desires of the deceased. Sometime during all this turmoil, there is usually a service of some kind, either funeral or memorial. I long ago realized that funeral ceremonies and memorial services are not for the deceased, but for the living. For many, it is one step toward bringing closure to losing someone. I've been to more than enough of those, but will probably go to many more. Personally, I would rather share comfort at my time of choosing on a one-to-one basis and not at some large group event. If I could have my choice without upsetting anyone, at the time of those large mingling events I would rather spend that time for reflection out in nature somewhere alone, somewhere I could feel the real presence of God, and talk to Him there, and ponder His plan to eliminate death forever. Conclusion. Some grieving family members worry about what will become of their loved one in the afterlife. That worry, of course, has little to do with the departed and more to do with their own religious beliefs. They are now dead and whatever will be, will be. We should only be worrying about ourselves, because any future for them is now in God's hands. For me, I understand that the dead are at rest until a resurrection. Jesus said that and He demonstrated how it works. Until the end of days, just know your loved one is only resting for a while, hence the phrase found upon many gravestones, "May you rest in peace." Joey and Rory Feek were an American country music duo. Joey was diagnosed with cervical cancer in 2015 and died in 2016. This ballad, written well before Joey's diagnosis, by Sandy Lawrence, playing piano in the video, has Joey singing as a dying wife reassuring her husband that he'll be okay when she's gone. Selected lyrics are below, see references and notes for a link to the music video. You'll wonder why the earth still moves. You'll wonder how you'll carry on. But you'll be okay on that first day when I'm gone. You'll lie down in our big bed. Dread the dark and dread the dawn. But you'll be alright on that first night when I'm gone. And even though you love me still, you will know where you belong. Just give it time, we'll both be fine. When I'm gone. The end. Copyright 2023, Dr. Ray Herman. OutlawBibleStudent.org. To view the references and notes for this article, see the citations list following the text copy online. Please leave any comments you may have, at the end of the written article. Thank you for visiting the Outlaw Bible Student website.